Hi, I'm Rahil Philippos, and you are listening to Three Things, the Indian Express News Show. For the past few days, one story that has dominated news cycles across the world is the story of how the Silicon Valley Bank collapsed. SVB was the 16th largest bank in the US, but it came tumbling down in the span of just 48 hours.
Silicon Valley Bank, where many tech startups had deposited their money and did their banking, collapsed over the weekend and is now taken over by the FDIC.
Now, to be clear, Silicon Valley Bank is a huge bank, and its customers include individuals as well as household names you may know, like Airbnb, Pinterest, Cisco. And this is a way bigger story. The entire banking industry is feeling the impact.
Meanwhile, experts say Indian startups that have deposits at SVB might be impacted as well. Regulators confirm
the collapse is now believed to be the second largest bank failure in US history, second only to the Lehman collapse in 2008. And one thing to note is that the SVB was unlike traditional banks because it mainly dealt with high risk, high growth businesses. And many of these were tech startups, several of which were based in India. Now, this was not the first instance of a bank failure in the country, but the repercussions of this particular crisis were massive, and the impact wasn't limited to the US alone. In India as well, tech startups with deposits in the bank quickly went into panic mode. In this episode, we take a detailed look at this crisis and speak to the Indian Express's Udit Mishra about what went wrong and how the US government stepped in to avert what could have been a devastating financial crisis. Okay, so to begin with, Udit, could you talk about how the Silicon Valley Bank grew to become this central to the startup ecosystem, not just in California, but across the world?
Right. So, you know, the Silicon Valley Bank, as just before it collapsed, was the 16th largest bank in US. So it's the biggest bank collapse since the great financial crisis in 2008 when Lehman Brothers collapsed. But obviously, Silicon Valley Bank was not this big when it started. It started in 1983. And it's a bank which specialized in providing services to startups and their funders, venture capitalists, and in particular, startups in the tech sector. You know, these things tend to grow over time where banks figure out that they are more equipped to handle certain sectors. And, you know, the startup sector or the tech startup sector is a technical area. A lot of mainstream banks tend to stay away from them because, you know, many of these startups may not survive. So when you're giving loans to them, it can be risky business. And often, as it goes with any investment advice, banks also invest in businesses they understand. So there's also an expertise element, and SVB had the expertise over time to deal with companies and firms which were in the startup sector. So that was the way it sort of grew. But it actually registered a remarkable growth in the last 2-3 years. We saw the COVID crisis, and we saw the COVID crisis actually bringing a lot more technology into our lives. Physical movement was curtailed, and we were doing everything on over using technology for everything. And you saw massive buildup in tech firms, startups providing services. And for all of that, that whole ecosystem just really blew out of proportion in some senses. And another crucial point at that time during the COVID crisis was that the central bank in US was already running a very loose monetary policy, which is to say that giving money at a very little interest rate, almost near 0%. And the hope is that some of the startups will definitely really prosper. But in the short period, they don't obviously get the returns. The startups don't start making money, but they still keep getting funding because the funding is so cheap in a systemic manner. Now, those two things basically meant that Silicon Valley Bank got a lot of deposits. Why? Because a lot of venture capitalists had money, a lot of firms or startups which were getting all this money from venture capitalists were putting all their money in the Silicon Valley Bank. And the times were good, everything was going on fine. Some portion of that money that they got was put into the business, rest was kept in the bank accounts, and everything was going on fine.
Right. And there were also a lot of Indian startups depositing money in the bank at the time, right? So what was the appeal for them?
So there were typically two broad areas. One is that a lot of this money in Indian startups is also coming from that cheap liquidity that the US is creating. If the US central bank was not lending out money at 0%, many of these startups would never get the funding to begin with. Because many of these startups actually lose money. They are not making profit. They're losing money in the aim, in the hope that they'll at some point reach a point where they'll start making money. But for the initial years, they simply lose money. And that is possible only when the money is so cheap, literally 0%, that they can play around. Now, so one thing is that because your donors are based in US, there is a very strong likelihood that you would want to deal in the same banks, in the same financiers. It just makes everything much smoother. The other element is tax. You know, what are the tax implications? And again, because it serves both the donors and the startup companies who are taking the money to have an ecosystem which is well controlled. It's again the notion of ultimately all the eggs being in one basket. But in the short run, it appears like this is a lovely little solution. We have a bank here which deals with all the both sides of the transactions. Transactions are much soon faster. And they've figured out a way to get these accounts for, say, Indian companies or non-US companies without as much, say, customer identification or, you know, having regulatory norms that the US banks would otherwise demand. So they've found those carve outs. So both tax and that whole being part of an ecosystem from where the money is originating, these are the broad two reasons.
Right. So like you said, this tech boom comes along between 2020 and 2021, and suddenly venture capital funds were investing a huge amount of money in startups. Everything seems to be going fine, but tell us what exactly went wrong. What led to the downfall of the SVB?
So at the macro level, there was a reason that created the conditions for this collapse, which was that in the US, inflation shot up quite dramatically, historic highs in 2022. As COVID was, that whole concern was receding, the demand for technology and firms, the reason why it shot up was also the reason, by the same logic, it was coming down. Interest rates had to be increased because inflation was high and the US Fed, the US Central Bank, had been behind the curve and it was now rapidly increasing interest rates to control the inflation. And on the company side, the startup side, the demand is coming down for their services is sort of reducing because with every increase in interest rates, the economic activity is coming down, the economy is slowing, your demand is for, you know, tech startups is coming down. These tech startups realize that because the interest rates are rising sharply, instead of borrowing additional money, which will now be costly because the interest rates are high, they say, let's go back to our money that was kept in the bank. We had not touched it. Let's start taking out some of that to, you know, fund our activities. And, you know, this is happening at a systemic level because SVB is something that is primarily taking care of tech startups. So it's also about, you know, the whole notion of not putting all your eggs in one basket. That notion comes out again and again in this story because SVB was focused on such startups. Since all those startups were facing the similar condition, they all were behaving in the same manner. They were pulling money out of their bank accounts.
Okay, and what did it mean for a bank like SVB when all these people started pulling out their money?
So now, normal course, you would think that, well, that should not create a problem. SVB had those account deposits, right? All the money that had come to them. But any bank, what it does is that when it gets the deposits, it doesn't just sit on it. In the intervening time, it decides to earn some interest on it, right? Because that's how banks function. They take deposits from us and these deposits are their liabilities. Why? Because they have to pay interest on that. To you and me, they have to pay a savings bank or a current account, a savings bank interest rate. Then they use this money when it is not being demanded, put them into some kind of loans or some savings of their own, which are their assets. So if they give a loan to you, then they'll charge an interest rate. And the difference between what they charge to you for a loan to you and what they give me for a deposit is their income. Now, what SVB did, and this is where the specific answer to your query about what they did wrong was that they took this money and they went all in by putting a large amount of it in US government bonds, which were long-term bonds. Now, on the face of it, it looks very safe that if you're putting money in US government bonds, and US is the economy that everybody trusts, US government nobody distrusts, that money would come to you. But when you put all your or large amount of your money in that long-term bond, there is a mismatch that you have created. Why? Because the deposits can be taken out every day, right? You can put in, you know, $10, you can take out $10. But the long-term bonds are for the long term. They will pay a return over the long term, not in the short term. If you do it in the short term, there can be losses. And what was happening was that the interest rates, as they were rising, they created a situation that the bonds that these guys had put, SVB had purchased, were of low interest rate because they purchased it when the interest rates were low. Then interest rates sharply went up. When interest rates sharply went up, the old bonds that SVB had invested in, which were paying low interest rate, became worthless, you know, or less in value. So if you went to the market to say that, okay, let me just break some of these bonds and give the money back to the depositors who are asking for money, you would book losses because the interest rates otherwise have gone up. So this is where the problem happened.
Now, this is an important point. Udit says that once the depositors, including all those startups, started taking their money out, SVB realized that it would have to sell those long-term bonds. And when it did that, it started making losses.
It became clear that whatever money you thought you'd get, you are not going to get because now you've sold some of those bonds and those bonds have lost their value because the Fed is already increasing interest rates and these bonds pay low interest rate. And so you started booking losses. When this news came out that they had sold bonds worth $21 billion and actually booked losses of $2 billion, there was immediate panic. Because that told everybody in the tech startup ecosystem, both the venture capitalists and the tech startups, all of whom had put their money in SVB, that, listen, maybe these guys are in some trouble. They have to now actually book losses just to pay our money back to us. And that led to what is called a bank run, which is everybody runs to the bank, literally runs to the bank and says, before the money runs out, let me take the money out. Everybody started asking for money. So this collapse story is just 2 days. That is how fast it happened. So everybody, every eco startup and deposit holder registered for their demands. Okay, give me back. I think by one record, I think $42 billion was demanded. There is no way any bank can actually give that money because banks don't sit on that cash. They typically put all that money in different assets. In this case, they put it in the bonds. They have already registered a loss on bonds. Everybody now knows that if they sell more bonds, they'll register more losses and their net worth will be wiped out. So that is how the whole story has played out. And it became clear that this is simply not functional. And within 2 days, the regulators had to shut it down.
Right. And this was around when the US government stepped in and averted what could have been a pretty massive crisis, right? So talk about what the fallout of the crisis was.
So, you know, we have a notion, our listeners would also have that notion, that money that is kept in the bank is safe. That is seen as a safe thing. If I've kept it in the bank, I'm sorted. I don't have to. But actually, not all your bank account money is insured in that sense or safe. Every economy would have a certain regulatory measure of how much of your bank account is insured, that the regulator says will back up this much amount of money. Now in US, for this SVB, for example, the amount that is given any insurance is $250,000. And this is a very small amount for startups who have maybe running into millions, multi-millions in accounts. So which is to say that you lose all your money if the bank collapses. In a market economy, if the bank collapses, you've also lost, right? And that is where you can only be reimbursed to $250,000, which is a pittance to most startups and their money. And would, if that happens, that basically means the death of the startup. Because without money, how do you employ people? How do you service clients? How do you get your inputs, outputs, whatever?
Right. And what do the regulators do in this situation? And what do they end up doing in this case?
So what the government did or the regulators did was that one, they ensured that all the people who had an account in SVB, all their funds will be insured. So first thing is to reduce the panic, because the fact is that if we all ran to our banks right now without any reason, just on a hunch, went to our banks in India, all banks in every country went and asked for all the money back, all banks will become bankrupt because no bank is sitting with all the deposit all the time. The hope is that not everybody would demand it at the same time. So the idea behind the regulators doing that with SVB of saying that I'm telling all your depositors, all your money is safe, is that stop running, sit, stay put. Demand what you require, maybe for 1 month's payroll or whatever, but don't ask for all the money back because that would becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of bringing down the bank. That is one thing that they have done. The other thing that they have done for to avoid the contagion and to figure out that other banks are not making this mistake is to say that other banks in the system, if they feel that they are also likely to get hit like this, they can come to us and say, listen, we might also be facing something similar. Please give us extra money to just deal with this problem right now. Use it as a loan or whatever and then sort it out. Because what is happening is that there is a mismanagement problem that has happened at the bank's level where they have put all the money in long-term bonds. If they had put that money in other assets, which were or even in short-term bonds, this problem would not have happened. And regulators are trying to preempt that other banks that are perhaps that could possibly be making the same mistake do not fall into the same trap. So that's on the solution part. And on the ecosystem side, obviously all depositors, as I said, if the money goes away, they cannot function. And since SVB dealt with startups across the world, you can feel these reverberations across the world. All startup ecosystems across the world have faced the problem. And more than that, because the panic set in, many other banks, smaller banks, which dealt with other startups, there was a run on them or there were share price losses because everybody started panicking. Because again, people do not know in such a scenario who to trust, what to trust.
Right. And Udit, here at home, has the Indian government stepped in to give some relief to the Indian startups impacted by all of this?
Yeah. So, I mean, India is right now going through a phase where there's a very energizing startup ecosystem that we are seeing in our country. And the government is very proud of that and counts it as an achievement of its that ecosystem is there. As I told you earlier, that a lot of it has to do with the Federal Reserve actually putting money at zero. But be that as it may, what the government has tried to do, according to reports, is that they've said that, okay, let's make it easier for Indian startups to park their money now, take it out. Because a lot of people are now, while they have been assured that this money is there and you don't have to take it out, but they do want to take it out. They want to park as much of it as possible outside. So what the Indian government is saying that let's figure out ways to either help the startups, either transfer the money from SVB to an Indian branch in US or to transfer it back to an Indian branch in India and make it easier for them. And also look at the issues that they are likely to now face and see if the Indian government also needs to step in or the regulator needs to step in to just smooth over this bump. Because often in any such crisis, you could go over the bump with some kind of what is called regulatory forbearance, which is to say that I'll not look at this 18 months of you missing out on some payment or, you know, let me just get you over the bump. And then I know you will get back on the horse and, you know, everything will be sorted. And that way you can protect a lot of economic activity instead of letting everybody die by market principle and say, well, you took a risk and so you died. But that would have detrimental impact. So that is what the government is doing and that is the approach.
And Udit, early on, you had mentioned how the US hasn't seen a crisis of this scale since 2008. Do you think this whole bank failure could have been avoided?
Yes. So, I mean, at one level, this is part of the market economy. There will be smaller banks in the US, insignificant banks, which nobody has heard of. Again, working in niche, making maybe similar mistakes or affected by one sector or one geography, you know, something wrong happens and the bank gets wiped out because its constituents got wiped out. So there are, it's not as if bank failure has not been seen. But the crucial thing is to understand that bank failure at a level of SVB bank has not been seen. Typically, you would expect that bigger banks are more robust. They are more capable of dealing with a crisis. And the reason for that is diversification. You would typically imagine that a bigger bank with huge amount of deposits and huge amounts of assets, you know, they had assets over 200 billion assets. Assets is money that they gave out in some instrument on which they would be earning something. You would have presumed that they would have thought that let's keep it in different kinds of things so that no one particular thing wrecks it. And there's another thing, you know, their shareholders are now have registered a case of fraud against the bank management. And there is a reason for that. There are reports that the bank did not have a chief risk officer between April 2022 and January 2023. Now, if you think about it, April 2022 to January 2023 is the period when the interest rate hikes happen. That is when the sharpest increase in interest rates happen. Now, if you do not have a chief risk officer, obviously nobody is telling you that we are going to pay a huge price for this investment we have made. Let's quickly turn around or figure out a way to readjust our portfolio.
So not having a chief risk officer is one alleged problem, but turns out there were other issues as well. Udit says that there are reports which claim that the top officials of SBV received bonuses and that many of them had sold their own stock of the company just before the crisis.
Which is suggesting that maybe the bank top management knew that something of this kind can happen and they were just sorting out their papers and their finances and letting all the bank really die. So that is why a lot of allegations of fraud have been raised. But typically it doesn't happen because bigger banks have more diversified portfolio. They might have not just invested in US security, they might have invested in other places, they might have lent money to other people, other sectors, and those sectors might be doing really well and you might be getting money and you might be able to furnish all these deposit demands. And also the mismanagement of not understanding that long-term bonds, when bought at low interest rates, are going to pay off very little money and interest rates start rising, then somebody should have woken up there and said, listen, we need to shift to bonds which pay higher because otherwise one day when we have to sell these, we'll get very little money.
Yeah, and when you hear that explanation, the problem seems so obvious, right? It's almost shocking that they didn't see it coming.
It's a classic bank run and very clear signs of mismanagement at the bank level. And, you know, quite remarkable that last year's Nobel for Economics was given on this very topic on how to prevent bank runs. And one of the past Fed chairmen, Ben Bernanke, was one of the people who was given the Nobel for this. That, you know, what is the role that banks play and how to avoid bank runs. So it's quite remarkable that it's just like within a year it is happening. And that lesson that even when Nobels have been given and all that wisdom is there, you still have situations in very well-funded banks making very basic elementary errors in money management.
And finally, Udit, what do you think the SVB collapse says about the current US financial system?
So if you go beyond, even pull beyond just the interest rate hike and go more macro, the bigger problem here is that a lot of people were pointing out that if US continues to have a policy of loose money, which is to give lots of, print lots of money, flood the markets, have interest rates at 0%, and not just US, the world over, central banks have been doing it, European Central Bank, Indian Central Bank, everywhere. A lot of people were pointing out that, listen, the speed at which you're doing it, if something happens and the inflation rises, then you will have to really counteract in a very fast manner. And it's very easy to consume that cheap money, but it's very difficult to then recover from that and pay back very quickly. And this is one of the things that has been happening in the last roughly 10, 12 months. All central banks have realized that they were behind the curve, and Ukraine war actually made it very difficult for everybody, that prices just skyrocketed. So this was at one level a crisis that was also sort of baked into this formula of very cheap money for a very long period of time. This is the kind of mistakes that can happen. And when the monetary tightening happens across the world all at the same time, then it immediately shows up in these chinks. It exposes many of these chinks. And that would be true for not just banks, but even for firms. I mean, we've seen with the Adani firm, the whole group of companies, how that has led to now the group of companies are paying back their loans and, you know, they're doing everything possible. So a lot of their growth was debt funded, you know, take borrow money and, you know, fuel further, right? But then when the interest rates start going up, everything starts becoming much more difficult. So that's broadly the thing. And I think the Fed and most central banks, even in India's case, there is growing concern that continued increase in interest rates will not just create situations like this, where firms and banks may collapse, but is literally choking the economic growth, the day-to-day functioning, because everything is becoming too costly too soon. There's no time to adjust, and that can bring about a sharp decline in economic activity very suddenly.
So far, the crisis has been contained and Indian markets don't have too much to worry about. But this has happened because the regulators in the US intervened. And if they hadn't done that, then this economic crisis could have spread from the US market to others around the world. Udit says that this is what is called contagion.
So the way contagion happens is that I had a bank loan, which then, because my company cannot service the money to me as salary, or that startup can't give me money of the services I had provided, and I have run into a debt for which I had taken a loan from a bank to make that component or make that service to this bigger company, then I will not be able to pay back. Then the bank who had loaned me the money or loaned the money to that startup for whatever activity, they will realize that their loans are not getting paid back, right? And then they'll start to worry. That is how a contagion sort of spreads. But in this case, because of the quick action by the Fed and now within India also, there is a spotlight. It's unlikely that this thing will spread in such a manner that creates any more crisis. But one has to be watchful in these matters.
You were listening to Three Things by The Indian Express. Today's show was hosted by me, Rahil Philippos, and written and produced by me with the help of Anviti Singh and Shashank Bhargav. It was edited and mixed by Suresh Pawar. If you like the show, then do subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also recommend the show to someone who you think will like it. Share it with a friend or someone in your family. It's the best way for people to get to know about us. You can also tweet us at Express Podcast. And write to us at podcasts@indianexpress.com.